Welcome to The Right Now Show. My name is Zach Day, and on the show, we have real, deep, and unfiltered conversations.
Yeah. I thought I was going to die. I thought of one thing, bro. Not the things I did do, but the things I didn't do.
If you love yourself enough, then you're going to call yourself out.
Don't ever, ever, ever let the false sense of fear interfere with your life.
The purpose of this show is to help you gain perspective on life, to help you become more intelligent, and to inspire all the people out there that are complacent with their life right now to get up and actually go for your real dream. So what was it like growing up for you? Like, I know you have like a really like amazing family.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can't really ask for much better.
Yeah.
100%. Like, I mean, yeah, I don't know how much time you spent on that Lizicki side of that family, but I mean, they...
A little bit, yeah. Some of the holidays I've been there.
Yeah. A little closer, I can get that nice, sweet SM7B sound right there, yeah. But yeah, man, it was great. I mean, mm-hmm. I was definitely a pretty shy kid growing up, but... And my parents will tell you this too, but they like... You know, like I have my cousins, like, I don't know if you remember Matt and Caitlin and Amanda and Ross, those guys.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I obviously love the shit out of them, but, mm-hmm. they were definitely like the outgoing bunch for sure.
Sure.
I'd be in the corner, like playing on my DS, playing Pokemon, you know, like, but it was great, man. I mean, we had so many family gatherings, birthday parties, you name it. We had my great, you remember, Nana Rita, like
I do.
Yeah, she, God bless her so much. She was 101.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, jeez, man. Yeah. That, like, she was one heck of a woman. Cause, I mean, it was the Jeopardy. We always made the joke that she lived and breathed off of Jeopardy. Like, right, it was whenever we go see her, like, we'd be there. And I'm like, man, I got pretty good at that just by hanging out with her a little bit. But yeah, it was so great, man. Yeah. I freaking loved growing up.
I have a couple memories of like growing up, like coming over to your house. I remember there was like this big, like blow up slide thing.
Oh yeah.
I think that was like the first thing. I think we played like wiffle ball in the backyard.
Oh yeah. Dude, that's the one thing. I do miss that Jersey house.
Yeah.
That was a different house. Yeah. Cause now my parents are in North Carolina.
Right.
Cause they just decided and was like, well, empty nest. We don't really have to stay here anymore. So, but yeah, that house, we were really lucky, man. That was a cool house. We had a great neighborhood, great neighbors.
Oh yeah.
Just everything.
Yeah.
I'm a very lucky kid, man. I gotta admit it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely had the setup, like really nice house. The basement was just like stacked with like video games and like different games that you could
do. My drums down there and everything. I like, honestly, what was funny, my mom always had the joke. She's like, I didn't install a bathroom in that basement because I needed to see you. Cause if we had a bathroom down there, you'd never see me.
Yeah.
Like I would just be, you know, vampire, pale white skin. Not that I'm too much different now. But,
yeah. Your house was like the place to be, like during the holidays. Like,
it really was
the craziest feast, and like there's so many fun things to do.
Yeah, and my mom just loves hosting.
Yeah,
like in general. Yeah. So, and then of course my dad does too. Like, but like my mom in particular was just like, all right. She gave us all missions. She's like, all right, you're going to do this, and this.
Yeah.
And then within 3 hours, we had everything ready to roll.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Your mom and your dad, like, they're amazing people. Your sister, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah. She's out in Ohio now. She's doing,
cool.
She's working for JP Morgan at an apartment complex.
Yeah.
Freaking past, like, 2 weeks for her has been a whirlwind. They had tornadoes out there.
Wow.
Like, for the past, like, week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and of course, I'm getting texts of her. She's like 5 a.m.
That's crazy.
And she texted me. She goes, hey. So you were really obsessed with tornadoes when you were younger. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of still am. Like, I've always been like a weather junkie. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. So when I moved down here and there was like a bunch of severe weather down here, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. I can like actually use my semi little bit of knowledge I have. But she texts me, she goes, hey, so what is, when a tornado siren goes off, what do I do? And I'm like, first of all, get in your bathroom. don't go near any windows.
Really?
But she was like, yeah, I saw like green clouds and everything. I'm like, okay, yeah, bathroom, don't move for an hour.
Like bathroom in the tub?
Yep, in the tub. Yep,
really?
That is the safest place to be during
a
tornado.
Not a basement?
No, well, if you have a basement, yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the strength of a tornado, because like basically there's the Fujita scale, which measures strength and like devastation.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like if it starts at F0, which is like just your little tiny little winds.
Yeah.
But if you get to like F5, it's like 200 plus mile an hour winds, and like it can literally strip a home off its foundation.
Oh my God.
So like if you're in a basement, like it could help you, but if the foundation's coming up, you might be screwed.
You'll go with
that. Yeah.
But how would the bathroom help?
So the bathroom helps because you have walls without windows, number one. And number two, in a bathtub, anything ceramic, if it gets ripped up, it won't break. Unless you get thrown. But I mean, hey, if you'd rather, you know, land on something else than flat ground if you get picked up. But yeah, no, there's stories upon stories of people being like, yeah, bathtub saved my life.
Dang.
So it's just for some reason it works.
Yeah, there's tornadoes here, right?
Oh yeah. I remember, I mean.
Not that long ago, I think.
Honestly,
was.
Yeah. Like I could very confidently say that the turning point of my adult life, I guess, like it was senior year at Belmont University where I went to school down here in 2020, 10 days before COVID.
Yeah.
So I had just played a show with some of my best friends and in a band we had in college. And it was great. Like, no joke. We had a record executive there. Like, it was one of the best nights of our lives. Like, we thought, like, wow, it just went so great. He was in contact with us. And then we get home around midnight, 12:30. And I'm loading my drums back into the house. And I hear tornado sirens going off. I'm like, uh-oh. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, my God, wait. I've never seen a tornado up close. And me being all obsessed. And I was like, oh, I want to peek outside. I don't want to be dangerous or anything. An EF4 tornado, which is the second strongest a tornado can be,
my gosh,
starts ripping through downtown Nashville.
Mm.
And I, me being the dumbass I am, I stood it out on our porch. Now, I want to set the scene for you. So that this house we were in college. We didn't, you know, pay too much attention about where we were living.
Yeah.
Turns out we had like freaking rats living in it. We had mice everywhere. It was a glorified cardboard box. Like, this house was not built well at all. Like, the walls were paper, basically.
Mm-hmm.
If a tornado hits this house, we're done.
Oh, yeah.
We're all dead.
Oh, yeah.
So I go outside and I'm like, okay, I got to at least get my drums inside. Just God forbid something happens to my car. So I'm just sprinting back and forth.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, I hear it. I can't see it, but I can hear it because it's pitch black at night. And I hear this earth shaking boom and I see a huge plume of fire go up into the sky. And it, like, it's something out of a movie. Like, it lights up the tornado and it's like a mile wide. I'm like, oh my God, I am terrified, but this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. So I'm going to go inside. So it turns out it was going through a tiny little airport. And it took up two planes, and the jet fuel lit up the tornado. I was like, my God. And we lost power, like, instantly, basically. Mm-hmm. We didn't have power for, like, probably a week and a half. And the day we got power back, the day we all stopped living on our friends' couches and everything, March 14th, 2020, COVID. So, yeah, you could say that was the turning point of a lot of a lot of our lives right there.
Yeah.
So.
That's nuts,
man. That was a scary, but I was just a big old holy shit day. Yeah, that's just the only way I can describe it. Yeah,
that's too funny.
Yeah.
So what was like the moment where you knew you wanted to play drums?
When I saw my dad do it, like straight up like that. When I saw my dad bring home his gigantic drum set, I think I was like 10 or 11 maybe. So he had brought it back. So he grew up in a funeral home up in North Jersey, where he literally kept his drums. That's where he lived growing up with his mom and dad. They ran a funeral home and he lived basically upstairs.
Oh, wow.
But he kept the drums in the basement. So one day he decided, he's like, hey, I'm going to take it back to the house and put it in this little side room we have in our basement.
Mm.
I don't want to speak too much out of turn because I don't remember it too well. But I from what I remember, I basically was just so fascinated by it. And I would sit and watch him play a bunch of Rush songs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to do that. That's cool as hell. And I think my parents had just bought me one of those starter guitars. And I did eventually, you know, end up playing a little bit of guitar, which is great.
Yeah.
Like later in life, like right now. But yeah, you just like, hey, I can teach you like a little bit. And then one thing led to another. And make a long story short, I ended up going to the School of Rock program. You remember School of Rock, right?
School of Rock.
Yeah, so do you know the movie, the Jack Black movie,
School of Rock? I remember Camp Rock.
Yeah, honestly, they're not too far off, but close enough. But School of Rock still is a program, like an after-school program for kids from like basically any age, really, up until 18.
So it's like a summer camp just with like band stuff?
It's a summer camp that goes year-round, basically.
Oh, okay.
But we did like themed shows and you get like private lessons. So basically when I first joined School Rock, I think it was 12 or 13, it was out in Princeton. So it was like a good like 45 minutes away. So my parents were driving me back and forth to this place, but they knew I loved it. Like, cause I was like, I'm getting performing chops up. I'm getting to hang out with other people. Cause like I had like really close friends. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But not a lot of them were like as obsessed with music as I was. So it was really cool to like get to hang out with like-minded people and kind of like grow up and become a functioning member of society around really cool, good people.
Yeah.
And it was great because I got to perform and like understand what that was like. So when I, you know, as I grew up and like started playing more shows, like with people that weren't just associated with that, I'd be like, okay, I know how to carry myself in a performance. I know how to put on a good show. I know how to play properly so I don't blow people's eardrums out. That took a little longer than, you know, I would like because I like to hit really hard. But but yeah, that was – to go back to that, I think the what really sold it was when I heard the band Rush for the first time and I heard Neil Peart on drums. I was just like, this is freaking mind-blowing. Like how the hell is he doing this? And I would literally – YouTube was getting really big in like 2010, 2011. So I was like, I was looking up videos of him playing live shows and I was like, okay, that's how he's doing X, Y, and Z. And then I'd go to my drum teacher and be like, hey, how do I do that? Like, and so I'd sit there and it got to a point where I'm like, I was just so obsessed. I was literally learning by ear, like on the school bus. I would literally like sit there and annoy the crap out of people behind me. I would play on the back of seats and pretend like it was a drum set. I couldn't help it. Like I was a hardcore ADHD kid who couldn't stop moving his hands and feet. And that's kind of where it all started.
Yeah. What was like the first time you performed? What was that like?
I think the first time I performed was in a little theater in Somerville and for the School Rock
show. Nerve-wracking?
Oh my God, yeah. Because at first I was like super excited and like because we had this little green room underneath this little theater. And it was really cool. I was sitting back there. I was warming up. I was listening to my songs that I had to play. I think one of them was a Beatles show and one of them was a Metallica show. So two very different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one was first, but either way, then the second I sat down, I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh, I'm shaking a little bit.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, man, like this is crazy. And so there's the old joke of like, when you get adrenaline, especially as a drummer, but like any musician, really, your songs are a good, like 30 beats per minute faster. And so you just start flying through these songs and especially those Metallica songs that are already fast.
Right.
I'm flying through. The guitar player can barely keep up. Like, it's like, and after that, I saw videos of myself. I thought I did great. And my dad was looking at me. He's like, man, you flew through those songs. I was like, did I? I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
And it's still to this day, I mean, every time I sit down at a drum kit, and I've done it hundreds, maybe even 1,000 times at this point, you still get a rush of adrenaline. You know, there's two people there.
Yeah.
Mainly for me, just because I'm like, I'm obsessed with drumming. I'm obsessed with music. It's what I genuinely love to do.
And
like,
you can tell when you're performing. I've seen you a couple of times. That's it. But like the emotion that you have on your face and like the vibe and the aura.
Yeah.
Dude, you're just like so in the moment. Like there's no way around it. It's so cool.
Yeah. No, and like no matter, it's funny. I've had like sound engineers come up to me and just be like, hey, can you pull back like just a little bit? I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, and like, it's so hard. Because I'm like, I just can't help it. I'm flailing away like every chance I get. So
how would you explain like when you're playing in Broadway and you have like a packed bar venue, whatever it is, how would you explain that feeling?
Like someone just gave me a Red Bull and shotgunned it. Like it shotgunned it and then just like poured it down my throat. Because I'm like, let's go. Like I am so raring to go. Because I remember actually like when I was playing with a girl named Kenzie Whittington, and the first time that we were at Honky Tonk Central and it was like packed from front to back, I'd never seen that many people in that condensed a space looking at me before.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, okay, this is no joke. And like I've played on like big stages before, like at School Rock, we played like this balloon festival like that like had like thousands of people, but they were all like kind of scattered.
Yeah.
But seeing that many people in that closed environment and all they're doing is looking at you. Oh man. It's like, it is a rush and a half.
I bet.
And even cause like we opened with the same four songs every time, and we always opened with I Will Survive, because it's like a super dancey one, always gets people moving.
Yeah.
And the first time that people were like really jiving with it, I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like you can't buy that feeling. Like,
no.
Yeah. And it's great because like I know a lot of people are like, I guess, skeptical of Broadway because it's like, oh, it's covers, you know, you're doing X, Y, and Z, and it's not like original music. And to an extent, yeah, you're right. It's not original, and that's not, you know, it's not a, I don't know what the word is, but it, like, if it can feel disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, like, if you really love playing your instrument and you really love the people that you're playing with, you're in a situation like that where it's just like an awesome night and you know you're going to be like having like the best time. I mean, you can't beat that.
No.
Like in my book, you can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
Long story short. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody goes to Nashville too.
Exactly. Like, I mean, like everyone and their mother has come to like visit. My mom texts me all the time. She's like, oh, my best friend from high school's sister's going to be at your show. And I'm like, cool. I'm just like, wow.
Literally
everyone and their mother comes to Nashville now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the journey like from, I guess, kind of like high school days to actually playing in Nashville on Broadway?
High school days, I was in the marching band for high school. And to be completely honest, and this wasn't anything against my instructors in marching band, shout out Dan Bonham, Paul Nalesnik, Neil Cody, Audley, I love you guys.
Yeah.
But I didn't really love marching band as you know, good as we all were and like as talented as we all were. Like what I really loved was obviously playing a drum set, not just one drum.
Yeah.
And like performing music that I really liked. And again, not that I didn't like it, it was fun. And Lord knows it kept me in shape because my God, you got to be in good shape to do that. But, but man, I think it was more just like as I kept going and getting better and better and better throughout high school. I came home and practiced like basically every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go and practice like songs I would hear, like because Spotify had just become a thing and I was starting to listen to Spotify radio and I was I'm finding X Band and like all this other stuff. And I found like a couple like other drummers that like really pushed like what was possible on a drum set. So I started studying them. Like there was this guy, Matt Garska, he plays in a band called Animals as Leader. He's just like, he thinks of stuff that like, I don't think anyone's ever thought of before, like on like how to like do certain stickings and do certain things on a kit.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. So basically that was the big bridge, is like finding those different musicians, guitar players and drummers alike.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause I find inspiration through a lot of different places in music, and just going from there and kind of like that was my bridge. And then another big, big turning point was when I was looking at schools. My dream since I was a kid, like about 13, 14, when I heard about Berklee College of Music in Boston, that was my goal. I wanted to get in there so freaking badly. So it felt like a given. It felt like a given that I was going to go there. And like, I knew the acceptance rate was like something stupid, like 0.76%. I think it's a little higher than that, but still stupid low.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go through an audition process and it was a whole thing. But then I found Belmont. Well, I shouldn't say that. My parents found Belmont and they were like, hey, before you like really set yourself in, check this one out first. We'll go down there for spring break. We'll go down to Nashville for spring break. I'm like, okay, great. Sounds cool. We can't come down here. We tour the place and I'm like, this is really cool. It's not a huge university. It's pretty small, but I'm like, I really like Nashville. Like I've really liked it here, but I didn't like say that outwardly because I was still very dead set on Boston and Berklee. And then I did the audition and I crushed it and I felt really good about it, but I was like, man, like the odds are so low. I just wasn't even thinking about it. And it's funny. Actually, I was just talking to my parents about this at dinner, like a couple weeks ago when they were here.
Yeah.
They were like, when you got into Berklee, when we got the email at like 1 a.m, I actually had a couple of my friends over. We were playing FIFA in the basement.
That's the best.
No, dude, they thought about not telling me because they wanted me to go to Belmont so badly. But the thing is with Berklee, as prestigious as it is and everything, it's cutthroat. Everyone's coming for your job. Whereas opposed to here, they realize that like people want to help you here. And everyone wants to help the next person in line, which is really hard to find.
It really is.
So And honestly, I wouldn't be where I am today if I wasn't in Asheville, not even close. I have no idea where my life would be.
Yeah.
But they came down and told me, and I was like, I was over the moon excited. And like my friends were all like hugging me because they knew too. Like they didn't like my friends Pete and John Henry and Chris and Danny, like they like actually Chris and Danny were in marching band with me. So they were musicians and they kind of understood like how cool Berklee is.
Yeah.
But my other friends really didn't like quite get it.
Didn't register.
But yeah, but they were stoked for me because they knew that like this was my dream.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought about it for a couple of days and I was literally sitting in a class. I'll never forget it. And I was looking at drum sets online because my dad actually told me, he's like, hey, like, listen, graduation gift will help you fund like an actual drum set. Cause I was still to this, to that day was playing his drum kit. So he's like, hey, you do kind of need your own drum kit at some point. So, I was looking at it. I was like, I can't picture myself in Boston. I can't do it. Like I as much as I want to, I just can't everything in my gut is telling me to go to Nashville. So I did. And holy crap. I'm so glad I did because I have the best friends. I have the best girlfriend. I have the best support system
so
I could
amazing.
Ever, yeah. ever imagine.
God so, works.
Look, I'll be perfectly honest. I am not a religious person by any stretch, but my God, there's some other higher power out there that pushed me towards, and I'm so happy it did. It's just, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason. Yeah. I'm such a firm believer in it. Mm.
What do you believe in that aspect of things as far as like spirituality? And
I believe that kindness over everything.
Yeah.
Like I know it's very cliche, but I believe that if you treat people the way you want to be treated, that the world will give you exactly what you're asking for. Mm. And I do believe I actively believe that there is a higher power. I do believe in God. Like I do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say necessarily I'm a practicing Christian.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I went to Catholic school my whole life.
Yeah.
Like I understand a lot about religion in and of itself. And I actually I'm lucky enough to kind of understand a lot of different religions. Mm. Cause I got that education at Belmont too. Cause they are a Christian university.
Yeah.
But I always respect the heck out of people that like have that relationship, mm-hmm. like with God and with a lot of different other spiritualities because it's not something that comes easy to me but it's always something I'm very fascinated by.
Yeah.
And
I found it to be one of the things I talk about the most because it's like the deepest thing that you could possibly talk about. Like what happens after you die.
Oh yeah. I have this necklace that I just got that my girlfriend got for me. It's like a Grim Reaper sight. That's it's badass. It's cool.
Oh, cool.
It's the thing is it's memento mori. Like be mindful of death. Like it's always around the corner. Like you never know when your time's coming.
Very true.
So I'm I look down at that now. I'm like, hey, you got to make the most of everything. Do not let a second waste. Like call your friends. I talk to my friends basically every day on the phone. It's cool. And then my girlfriend's on her way home from work. She calls me too. I talk to her and I'm like, I do not want to let a single second go by and not tell my friends I love them.
Yeah.
So I'm that's
could be
that's
the last time.
Exactly. I was like, I not that I thought I was gonna die in this instance, but when in January when it was super snowy here, I don't know if were you here in January?
Dude, I came down in the snowstorm.
Did you actually?
Dude, it was terrible. Like there was cars on the side of the road. Some people didn't make it.
Yeah.
I was driving a Camry down here with I just got my car inspected and the guy's like, yeah, you should probably get new tires. I was like, cool.
Yeah. Oh man. So what's funny is this isn't funny. This is scary. But January 16th, the snowstorm, the day after everything hits and the roads all froze.
Yeah.
My girlfriend had left her car at a friend's house because she'd never driven in the snow before.
Mm.
And I was like, I'll tell you. And she was stuck at a friend's house. I was like, I'll tell you what. At the time I had this big Toyota Highlander, had snow mode, four-wheel drive, good tires, everything. I was like, I'll come pick you up. And we'll come get your car the next day. So I went and picked her up, came back, stopped at the grocery store, got some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next day, we wake up and we're like, all right, let's go get your car. Man, we'll take it really slow.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I literally turn out of our neighborhood and some guy going probably 40 miles an hour down a 15 mile an hour road just comes flying on bald tires, totally I'm about to T-bone this guy and right on the driver's side. So I think quickly and I'm like, well, it's either him or a tree. I took the tree. So, police came and everything. totaled the car.
Yeah.
But like in that moment, I didn't know what to do in that instance because I'm like, well, I don't know how I'm going to get to work now. I don't know what's going to happen with my life after this. Yeah. This really sucks. It's also negative 2 degrees outside, and my girlfriend and I are sitting out here freezing. Luckily, we were bundled up, but we literally end up walking home. Because we were close enough, and I'm like, we can't stay out here.
How far was it?
It was about a 15-minute walk. Okay. So it wasn't too bad, but—
Thinking like 5, 6, 7 miles or something.
No. Like I said, literally, we turned out of our neighborhood, and it was on this back road, so we ended up in a ditch and a tree. God bless those freaking tow truck workers, man. They stayed out there for 5 hours trying to get my car out of that ditch because the tow truck couldn't get traction. Mm-hmm. They literally had to leave a heater on each tire just so they can pull me out.
Mm-hmm.
So
this whole road was a sheet of ice. Like you could literally ice skate on it.
Oh yeah, yeah, straight. Literally the entire neighborhood. There were kids sledding because when you turn out of a neighborhood, we're on top of a hill.
Yeah.
So down this hill, kids were sledding for days, mm-hmm. and I was like, if I wasn't completely traumatized by what just happened about 4 days ago, I'd be out there too. That sounds great. Yeah. But I mean, cars couldn't get up like into our neighborhood. So
yeah, and a lot of people don't know how to drive in the snow or the ice. Like we had an Uber pick us up and he called us up. And he's like, yeah, I'm on the side of the road. I'm in a ditch.
Oh, no.
So we were actually able to push him out. And we got him out, and then he slides again almost into another ditch because he just slams on his brakes on the ice.
I'm like, dude, like, you gotta be gentle.
Yeah.
Like, and we grew up in the Northeast. Like, we get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember I took my Mazda 6, like, when I still had that tiny little car, had front wheel drive, and I was driving like a king.
Sure.
But people around me, I was like, dude, like, it's not hard. You just gotta go slow.
Right.
Like, the guy who, almost ended up hitting me. I somehow avoided him. I don't even know how.
Yeah.
Poor guy didn't speak a lick of English, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, he felt so bad. He was like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, hey, man, it's okay. Like, I get it. But I'm like in the back of my head, I'm like, dude, you cannot be going that fast around a corner on a sheet of ice with a 1990s car that hasn't had its tire changed in like 10 years probably. Yeah. So, but it is what it is. You saw it out there. I got a new car. I had to endure a tiny little rental for a month and a half, but I got a new car.
It worked.
Bless my parents. They helped me out with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that whole thing's over.
I bet. Yeah. I want to dig into the life of like someone like in a band in Nashville. Like,
yeah.
What is it like? Like, how do you guys get your income?
Mm-hmm.
How does the, you're booked at like different venues. Like, how does that work? Like, what is the music industry here like? Like, how do you work your way up?
Yeah. So I got a little lucky in terms of how I got onto Broadway because at the time, like I said, COVID was a big kind of turning point. And when I went to school and like we quote unquote graduated from our homes, like when we got our degrees, I was still doing, I was actually teaching at the Nashville School of Rock because I love kids. I love teaching. I love all that. And I still do, and I'd still like to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing that, and then I was talking with my parents. And they were like, "Hey, like you should consider like getting something a little more secure, like with benefits and stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And the nice part about the degree I got was a music business degree, so it's a actual business degree that just happens to have an emphasis in music and audio engineering, which is great.
Yeah, perfect.
And it's like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, if you want to go to Belmont, do the music business degree. Mm-hmm. Don't do a commercial music degree. Like, if you really want to do it, but like, you can't beat that. It saved my skin, like 100%, because I got a great job at a company called Eargo. They're like a Bluetooth hearing aid company. Really, really fascinating company, actually. But I was doing customer service, but I got benefits and I got a great job and like good hours and everything. It was great.
Right.
And then my friend Logan calls me in the middle of middle of June, and he's like, "Hey, I got this gig coming up on July 4th. I know you can handle it. It's all like rock stuff. It's all the stuff I know you know how to play. Just come play some drums. Like, you'll get paid." And it was July 4th on Broadway. So there was a lot of people on this rooftop.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did one show. We got cut off after 2 hours because apparently some guy bought out the bar. Bought out that floor of the bar.
Okay.
He was like, "Hey, here's your base pay.
Yeah.
And here's your tips." And I was like, "Wait, hold on, what?" So your base pay is what the bar pays you basically for showing up, for doing your 4-hour set, because it's 4-hour sets at a time, which is
Got it.
That's a long time.
It is, yeah.
Just be playing. Oop, did I kick something?
I think I did.
Cool. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah. But, and so that's what the bar pays. Usually that's between $100 and $150 depending on the day.
Okay.
Per person. And then with tips, that's what people give you. Usually people down on broad, and I say usually, this is the rule. Like each band asks if you request a song for $20 because that's split four, sometimes even five ways. In my case, it's five ways because that's the main band I play with is a five piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's, it's how we make our living. Like that is literally how like we survive, how we pay our bills.
Yeah.
So if we have a slow night, it's like, I mean, hey, you make some money, it's cool. But like you have a really good night. Like I was telling you about that one night, it was super packed at HCC. Mm-hmm. Like we walked away with a lot of money per person. Like that's, there was one night, I'll never forget it, where we made, I think my entire month's rent in one show. But then there were other shows where I was like, that's not even a tank of gas.
Yeah.
Like,
dang. Yeah.
So it's really all over the place. But that's why when people are like really rude about it, it's like, oh, $20. Like, what are you guys trying to freaking financially kill me with this like one song? I'm like, no, man, like think about it. Like really stop and think about it for a second like that. Like, you know, you just got to be like, if you're coming to Nashville to visit, be prepared for that. Like that's, that's just the general rule. It's not my rule. It's not my front woman rule. It's just the rule. It's just what people ask for. It's how it's how we live.
Right.
But to answer your question though, of how to, you know, kind of go up from there is I just kind of made the decision. I called my parents. I called my girlfriend. I'm like, hey, they're offering me this position, like this gig, like full time, basically. They're like, hey, like we're small right now, but like we can grow.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did we grow.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, this is risky as hell because you're leaving behind benefits and really good things. And but I kind of made the realization, I'm like, I'm making the same amount, if not more, if I play my cards right.
Mm.
And
was that like the dream though?
Not exactly, but I'm very happy I did. Mm-hmm. And because my dream has always been like, I want to tour. I want to be in a studio, make music. And I'm still, you know, I get to do like definitely some of the studio stuff. I get to play live shows with friends and stuff. Yeah. But I'd love to be on the road. I want to see the world while playing music. That is my goal, like ultimate goal.
Well, I think this is a great step.
In my opinion, this is the step.
Yeah. Like, it's probably the best step you could take.
Exactly. Because I'm like, I mean, let's face it, Jersey doesn't have this. Like, there's almost nowhere, like, you could argue New York or LA, but like I said, cutthroat. It's cutthroat. Yeah. No one's there to help you. Like, you got to, like, really pound the pavement out there if you want to try. And like, you still got to pound the pavement here, but at the same time, like, my name grew from just being a good person to hang out with and a good person to, that, like, just knows their stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because if you show up and say like, oh yeah, I know your stuff, and you don't, word travels very fast.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you get blacklisted or anything, but my first show was like, it was good. Like I knew my stuff, but they knew, they're like, hey, like I know you're going to like go home and learn the rest of this. I'm like, yeah, you bet your ass I am. Like, and I did. And I learned the set and I learned different like tendencies of like what we like to do to like make the show our own.
Mm-hmm.
And it just grew from there. Luckily enough, I have like really good chemistry with everyone in all the bands I play with now. Like,
do you always play in the same band?
Not always, because I'll just explain it like this. Mm-hmm. I have my set schedule as of today is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all closing shifts. Thursday and Friday are at a bar called Snitch in Printer's Alley.
I've heard of it, That's
Snitch
I tried
is
to go
awesome.
See you.
Yeah, Snitch is really, really
cool.
Great.
It's a cool place.
And Thursday night is with Monty and the Monsters. That was the band I got the call in that July 4th gig. That was my first band. Like, still, we all play together to this day, and it's awesome. It's such a cool band. I love everyone in that band. And then Friday night, I play Snitch again with a different band called Clever Alibis, and that was, I was telling you about with my friend Kyle, who has that podcast. Nashville for Nobody's podcast. Go check it out. but he had a slot open at one night, and he's like, hey, I'm a pop punk like centric band like person, like I want to like really do that, like Blink 182, Jimmy Eat World, like that sort of thing. And that's another band I really grew up liking, so I was like, I'll give this a shot. We did it, and just night one, we were just like, this is awesome. Like, we had just a great group of people like right off the bat. Like, and that's the thing, sometimes a bar will call someone and say, hey, can you put together a band? Just like a band that can do a good party night on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And he was like, he scrambled together me, another guy named Steven, and a girl named Anna at the time. And it just went over so well. So we've kept that Friday shift ever since, since like, I think in summer of last year, I think we've been doing it since now. And it's great because it's like, it's every Friday. There's not been a single Friday I've not done the show.
So in order to like play on Broadway, it's just a game of connections and relationships,
Everything
right?
is connections in music, literally. Yeah. I mean, everything's connections with basically everything nowadays, but I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've gotten just random texts from different numbers. Be like, hey, I got your number from so-and-so. Yeah, like, can you play this shift? Unfortunately, usually it's a no because a lot of them are closing shifts because that's where I'm already booked at on weekends. But almost any other time, if someone's like, hey, can you come play 6 to 10 at Kid Rock's third floor? I'm like, hell yeah, I'll do it. Because like, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know like the people you're going to play with. I ended up the other day, I played with this bass player is an older guy named Eli, and he turns out he toured with one of my all time favorite bands like way back in the day. I was
That's
like,
nuts.
What? Like just as a fill-in guy, but like you never know who you're gonna meet, and one connection will lead to another connection every single time.
Yeah,
like. I mean, I can go on forever about how many times people have told me, like, oh, I got your name from whoever.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just how it works. And in every possible way that I've gotten, like, my name out there, like, just from, like, being a good drummer, like, I've gotten so many texts from people now, like, being just like, hey, like, can you, like, listen to this drum track and, like, give me advice on it? I've gotten that a lot more lately just because people are like, they trust my opinion, and honestly, I don't really know where that part came from because I'm pretty good at what I do. Like I'll admit it. Like I like to be pretty humble, but I'm like I've gotten to a point now where I'm like I know I'm pretty good at what I do. But like at the same time though, like having people trust you to like give an opinion or trust you to be like, hey, I've never played with you before, but like I know you can handle this. Like, can you just show up here and play the show? Like, that's big, man. Like, it made me feel really good one day where I think someone called me, like, same day. He's like, hey, can you do this one shift? I'd never met this guy before. And I just showed up. I knew my stuff.
Yeah.
And still to this day, like, he calls me, like, all the time. He's like, hey, I know you probably can't, but, like, can you do this shift? And I'm like, and it's great because I'm like, wow, I'm, like, really – The work pays
and that's just going to grow and grow. Exactly. As long as you keep your word and you're trustworthy and you're loyal, dude, it's just going to grow and grow.
That's the thing. Just the word is everything.
Yeah.
Like your good word is everything in music. It really, really is.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Now, is there like a place to play in Nashville that's like the pinnacle out of all the places to play? Like, is it Jason Aldean's? Is it Honky Tonk?
So if you're talking strictly Broadway, it's probably going to be Kid Rock's main stage because the sheer scale of it.
Yeah.
It's literally like 10 feet off the ground. It's gigantic. If you've never seen it, just go look up Kid Rock's big ass Honky Tonk in Nashville. It's this big stage. Now, if we're talking outside of that, there's a couple places I really, really want to play in Nashville because you have your smaller venues like The End and Exit Inn. That's where I go see a lot of my like bands that I like that come through town. Like that are like smaller scale,
right?
But put on amazing shows, and you can do that at those places. Like that's the thing. The place doesn't necessarily matter so long as like you're having like the experience you want.
Sure.
That being said, though, I mean, I'd love to play Bridgestone Arena someday because that place has some kick ass sound in there. I the most recent show I saw there was actually Blink-182. With a friend of mine who bought VIP tickets, my friend Chris, and we went and we were like right in front of the stage, but I was like, I've never heard a sound system sound this good in my whole life. And like, granted, I've seen, I think, 3 shows there now, and I've been seated in every single one, single like different section of that stadium you could possibly be. And it just sounds amazing in there. And every time I look down, I'm like, I can do that. I can get there. Like, I was like, you know what? It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen for a year. But I'm like, I know if I just keep doing what I'm doing, it's gonna happen.
Yeah. What are all the steps do you think? Like, it's just playing as much as you possibly can in Broadway. Is it like, is there some like personal branding? Is there just like some like, oh, I got to go to these networking events and make these connections? Is it all that stuff?
Yeah. It's a little bit of everything because I'm very much a firm believer in like just I let what I do speak for itself. Because, and I'll be the first to admit it, I am not the best at personal marketing. Yeah. I like to keep my mouth shut. I'm just like, I hate to brag on myself. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm starting to realize now, I'm like, that's also kind of what makes you grow a little bit.
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah. And like doing podcasts, like honestly, what I've realized, just say yes to everything. If someone tells you to like, be like, hey, like I have this thing coming up. Like if you can go, just go. Mm-hmm. Like you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what connection you're going to make. I ended up doing, do you know what Whiskey Jam is?
I don't think so.
So Whiskey Jam is a performance. I think it's every Monday and Thursday at Whiskey Row. It's actually another,
Whiskey Row's another Whiskey place. Row, yeah.
Well, I play at Whiskey Row every Sunday.
Okay.
And it's usually a country showcase, for like local artists. I'll be the first to admit I'm not the biggest country person, but I love playing it. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because I played this Whiskey Jam thing and it was more of a rock centric set with a guy named Brian. He had just lost his sister and his mother within, I think, 6 months to cancer. Mm. So he wanted to do a really cool benefit, like a cancer benefit. And so he put together a lineup. He partnered with the American Cancer Society and Whiskey Jam to put on this whole event that night. And it was incredibly powerful and moving. And he's actually a drummer by trade. But he was like, hey, like, I've seen you play so much. And he's like, not only do I know you can handle this show, but he's like, I want to help you get to where I know you want to be. And so he's like, this is a great step in the right direction. He's like, play these shows with me, play this Whiskey Jam with me. He's like, it'd be an honor to have you. And I'm like, dude, you don't have to say anything more. I'll be there. Yeah. It was incredible. And I met so many people. I met so many people who knew who I was that I didn't know who they were. I was like, hi, I didn't know, you knew I existed. But that's just it, man. Like that night made me realize, I was like, okay, I'm doing something right. Like doing that, like being part of something way bigger than myself, like, and just seeing all my friends that like friends came out to support and my family happened to be in town. They were there. And like, I was just like, man, this is something special. And all the artists who played that night, like, I was like, man, like, I don't care what genre of music it is. I just want to be a part of something like this all the time if I can.
Wow.
So that was really, I was like, that's the step I want to take. But it's all connections. I can repeat it till the freaking cows come home. It is all connections.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, and just say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Be a yes man, as cheesy as it sounds, but just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I guarantee you will feel really crappy if you don't.
Yeah.
So
I love that, man.
Yeah.
How would you explain like playing the drums as far as like the strategy and the technique? Because like from an outsider's perspective, like it's obviously like, you know, it's super fast paced. There's these different kinds of drums that make the different kinds of sounds, but is there like a strategy to get better and to build the technique?
Yes. So this is another reason I love teaching.
Yeah.
Is because I love seeing the aha moment for people.
Yeah.
Because with the way I teach, especially for a younger kid, I would just start with your hands. Because that's what everyone sees. The part that people don't see is your feet. That's where shit gets hard. But with your hands, it's relatively easy. You pick up a couple of sticks and you start making noise. So so the basic premise of all drumming started with, you know, just basic drums kind of just scattered everywhere. But when someone's like, oh, I can put a cymbal on this part, have a bass drum with a pedal on this part, and I have your snare drum, which is your main drum, like in where your left hand would always sit, is your snare drum. That's where you get to like boom, yeah, boom, yeah, like your main drum basically. So that's the one you hit the most, is your snare drum.
Right.
So what I would always start with people would be like, okay, your right hand's going to cross over to what's called a hi-hat, right? Now your hi-hat's like a like that's where I'll call it the groove comes from, right? That's where like the basic tempo of a song, like that's like your bare bones basic, like making a beat. And then you would add your left hand underneath with your snare drum, as I said, and I would just start them with that. So that's like the basic, like you want to start playing drums, that's where you're going to start with every time, no doubt about it. Now adding your foot. Your foot on your kick drum or your bass drum as your lowest thing, and you would use your right foot down there. Then there's also double kick pedals where you use both feet, like I do. Like I play a lot of metal music, so like a lot of that has both feet go like,
Yeah,
like super fast all the time.
Yeah,
And I incorporate a lot of that into Broadway sets because sure. I'm kind of a lunatic.
But, I guess my question is, yeah. how do you know how to play every single song?
Practice and a lot of Red Bull.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just, you guys get yeah. a song request, like everyone looks at it and be like, oh yeah. Like, no problem.
So, yeah, and that all kind of comes back to that basic beat because I'm like, yeah. okay, especially, and I keep bringing up country, but a lot of country like has this basic like backbeat style, and I've grown to really appreciate it because when I was a kid, I was like, oh, it's boring, it's like this basic thing, but I'm like, I didn't realize how important that was like to making people dance and like making people feel something, like, because like when you're like really feeling like a backbeat and stuff, like. That's cooler than like doing a whole bunch of craft, like other craft to me now. Like, but to answer your question, like I'll pick up my phone and let's just see what was on my Spotify. Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of give you a little live example here.
Yeah.
So let's say what was in my latest search. Cause okay, perfect. Here we go. Epic by Faith No More. Cause we were trying to play this the other night. So that like, that's your hi-hat, right? That's okay. like the thing that's given the groove. Mm-hmm. So I hear that. I'm like, okay, that's at least the speed of the song. If you give me the speed and the basic bit rhythm, I can take it from there. And
so that's how you break it down. Yeah. Speed, rhythm.
Yeah. Speed and rhythm are your two basically set things that you always got to know.
Yeah.
And if you know how to play a basic beat on a drum set, like even if you don't do a whole lot with your right foot, if you can just keep a basic beat, you can kind of figure it out from there. Obviously, that takes a lot of training. That takes a lot of skill and memorization.
Mm, yeah.
Reading music always helps. I personally don't look at sheet music a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because I learned, like I said, when I was younger, I learned everything by listening to stuff over and over and over and over. And just by doing that so much, I mean, I could, honest to God, I could probably, there's probably about 1,000 songs that are just Broadway songs that I could probably play at this point.
Yeah.
Just from, if I play them once, I'm good. Like if I play it once, unless it's like something a little more complicated,
right?
Then I if I play it once, I got
that makes sense.
Yeah, and and there's people who make charts. Like there's a Facebook group on here where people will post like a new chart for a song. Be like, okay, you're especially for guitar players and bass players and keys players have it the toughest because they gotta know a lot more note theory, like your scales and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I know it. Like it's up here, but I'm like, I can never like. Just look at something and be like, oh, that's an A flat minor 9. I'm like, where the hell does that come from? Like, that's so above my pay grade. But that's why I picked up guitar because I want to learn. I want to know. I want to know all the ins and outs of that stuff. Mm. But
you sing sometimes?
I sing a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And singing kind of happened by accident. Mm. I shouldn't say totally by accident. I did my middle school plays when I was in 7th and 8th grade. I did a Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, where I was the Pharaoh in 7th grade, arguably the funniest thing I've ever done. And in 8th grade, we did High School Musical, and I had a solo part in High School Musical, and that's kind of how I realized at first I could sing. Mm. And then when I joined School Rock when I was older, I just kind of started singing a little bit more too, and I was like, oh, I guess I can really do this. Didn't sing for years after that.
Mm.
And then fast forward to when I'm on Broadway when I first started— someone was like, hey, like, I don't know if I can sing this one song. I think it was Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. Mm. And I was like, screw it. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I borrow my guitar player's mic stand and I place it in front of me, like kind of like where this mic is right now. And I was like, screw it. Let's try it. Mm. And it actually went over really well because I think I'm at a point now in drums where I don't have to think about what I'm playing necessarily.
Yeah.
And so I can just play the song like that I know up here, like the back of my hand, and all I got to worry about is singing and hitting the right notes.
Mm, yeah.
Because singing, I was never trained to sing necessarily. I took like a couple vocal lessons.
All you
got to
worry about is singing and hitting the right notes. It sounds like a lot.
It is. Because like my biggest fear is being pitchy. Like I was like, I don't want to sound like Dying Cat.
So you're literally playing the drums and singing at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's a lot. Yeah. It can be a lot depending on what I'm playing, especially. Like depending on the song, like, If it's pretty straight ahead, like I said, like if it's that straight ahead beat, I'm fine.
Is it a rare thing to do?
To sing and play?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
There was a point where I think I stopped getting compliments from random people on my drumming.
Sure.
But then it became singing and drumming at the same time.
Yeah.
It's almost every show now. I'm like, is this really that rare? And I asked my one bandmate about it. And I'm like, is this really that rare? He goes, I know maybe three other people who could do this.
Wow.
And yeah. he knows a lot of people. So I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I guess so, yeah. Like, yeah. I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. I just kind of thought of, I did it out of necessity, like, at first. But now I love, like, I genuinely love it. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was playing with a girl who I'd never played before. This girl named Lauren. And she was like, you seem like you genuinely love singing and playing. I'm like, I do. It's funny because it's like a fun challenge to me. Like, but it's funny because a lot of the singers like are be like, oh man, my voice is so tired because they have to lead the whole time.
Oh yeah.
But what I think what I bring to the table a lot now is I can give them a break. I can carry a show by myself if I wanted to.
Wow.
Like, it's not quite the same because I do have to sit down and play drums and I can't, like, you know, be as engaged with the crowd as they can be.
Right.
But hey, I can do it if I need to. Mm. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a deeper question for you. What is your purpose?
I actually thought about this because I saw you ask someone else about this. Oh, I was thinking about it on the way over here.
That's so
actually
funny.
I have a double answer. I think I have two purposes. I think my goal is I want to inspire as many people as I possibly can to pick up an instrument, and that it's never too late to pick up an instrument.
Yeah,
because I will never forget it. It was just a one-off lesson. You just wanted to kind of get a feel for it. It was a 78-year-old Vietnam War veteran who had lost a couple of fingers, and he was like, "Man, like I've always wanted to play the drums, but like I didn't know if I could." Yeah. I'm like, "Homie, I got you. We can figure this out."
Yeah.
And so for 45 minutes, I sat this guy down, and he's a big jazz fan. He's really into John Coltrane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sat him down, and I do have a bit of a jazz background too. So I was like, all right, here's your basic jazz beat. Here's this. And when you hold a drumstick, you don't like grip it like this necessarily. Yeah. You kind of like pinch it like this. And he was missing these two fingers. So I was hey, I got good news for you. You don't really need those fingers. But he was great. He had a great sense of humor. He was just like the coolest guy. And he was like, man, I always thought it was too late. And I'm like, it is never too late to pick up an instrument, man, because music is timeless.
Yeah.
Like, that's the beauty of it. That's why I love buying physical music. I'm a big vinyl collector. Like, I love buying albums on vinyl because I'm like, music is timeless. Like, if you make music, that outlives you. That will be there. That's there forever.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my goal number one is just to inspire as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal number two is to leave a lasting impact on the people around me, because my friends tell me all the time, you're just like, you're a teddy bear. And I was like, yeah, because I'm like, I don't,
yeah.
There were a lot of times in my life I was treated like dog shit, like for a long time. Like I was bullied a lot in school and like, I was like, I knew right then and there, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this bother me too much, number one. And number two, I'm like, I am never going to be that person. Because I've never actually said this like on a public forum, but like I had a very close friend in college who actually tried to take her own life, like not quite in front of me, but like basically.
Yeah.
And to an extent, I kind of saved that person's life.
Wow.
And not to get into too much detail because it's a long story, but I was like, I want to be there for as many people as possible. Like, I do feel like in another life, I could have maybe been a therapist or a psychologist because I genuinely love listening to people and helping people and like just being there for people.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very simple thing that goes such a long way that I feel like a lot of our world today doesn't understand. Like, if you just took 5 seconds to just listen to anyone's story around you and not like pass it off as just any other person.
Yeah, yeah.
I guarantee you, if you stopped and talked to one person today, guarantee you would make a way better impact on that person than you could ever make on anyone else just from that other 5 seconds.
Yeah, and I think in a sense, like it's almost like a selfish thing because you get something from that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It 100%
you know?
Is.
And it's not selfish, obviously, but like you do get something from that.
Yeah, I mean like I try, like I'm not the best at it, but I do try to like talk to as many people as I can. Like for instance, if I see someone with a shirt of a band I like out in public, like I will literally go up to them and strike up any conversation I possibly can, like with about whatever. I'm just like, hey, I love your shirt. Like, did you see them live in concert recently? Whatever. And like, I hear stories all the time about people who just like go up to a homeless person and just talk to them for a little bit and be like, man, I was thinking about killing myself today.
Yeah.
Like and now I'm not going to. Like, you were so kind to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, man, if I can do that for some, like, I'm not saying I'm like, I I hope to God, I mean, I hope I can help someone in that, on that level, like, like as much as possible. Yeah. But I hope that never, you know, has to come to that. But I just want to be, a good person.
Yeah.
Like I try every day to just like be kind to everybody.
Mm.
And, you know, just, I never want anyone to have to come to that point in their life.
Yeah.
If I can help with that in any way, that's, that's, I think that's my bigger, my bigger purpose. Cause like I know people always joke, be like, oh, I'm an empath. Ha ha ha. But like I do feel like I have a very strong sense of how people are feeling. And I'm just like, hey, if you got some shit going on, man, I'll talk to you however fucking long you want to. I will sit here for the next 4 hours. I will be your punching bag. I don't care. Like, just let me be there for you. Yeah.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for maybe a drummer coming up? Maybe he's in high school, college, and like he wants to be where you're at.
Yeah.
What kind of advice do you have?
Say yes to every opportunity you get, regardless of genre, and be a good hang.
Yeah.
It's the big, I'm sure if you're in the music world, you've heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
You have, let's just say you get a touring opportunity. You're 18 years old, you're fresh out of college, and you're like, oh my God, I get to spend the next 89 days on the road. You are on stage for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of however many hours that 89-day tour is, you're on a bus, you're hanging out with people you've never met before, you're meeting new sound people, you're meeting new managers, merch people, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on and on. Don't be a dick. It's so easy. It's so easy for people to be like, oh, this guy's really good. Oh, but like, I didn't really love the way he like, you know, was treating people like this.
Yeah.
And it happens to a lot of younger musicians nowadays. I can tell because all they really care about is just playing for themselves. And I'm like, you got to play for the other four or five people on stage with you. Because not only is the drummer the most important part of the band for keeping a rhythm going, it's also like, you start and end every song.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true even in today's world because a lot of people are using laptops with Ableton on them to run tracks and like run a lot of electronic sounds. I know a lot of people in the music world are like, oh, like it's not genuine music if you're using tracks. But I'm like, okay, but like look at literally any big star. I was listening to Kendrick the other day, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Let's look at Kendrick Lamar. I think Kendrick does have a live band that plays with him, but like, it's someone has to push a button somewhere in there to make his producer tag go off somewhere, surely.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's all like there's all so much stuff, but the drummer always starts and ends every song. And usually that's their job in that.
Yeah.
So like that's all you really gotta worry about. You gotta worry about starting and ending each song and playing those songs in between for that 1 hour.
Yeah.
The rest of that time, just be a good person. It's so easy to be a good person. It takes so much more effort to be an asshole than it does to like actually just be like, hey man, how's your day going?
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
It really, really is that simple. And I think a lot of people kind of forget that sometimes.
And also just like the building of connections and relationships.
Yep, of course.
Like obviously that's super important when you're not on set. And then like practicing and grinding, staying in shape and all those things.
Yeah. No, I mean, shit, I'll be the first to admit it. I think COVID really kicked my ass because I put on some weight. I got really out of shape and I'm literally just about like in the past like 6 months, like I started being like, okay, I really got to get myself back to like where I was before that because like, I mean, I'm still in good drumming shape. Don't get me wrong. I can still play 4 hour shows like nobody's business, but like, I want to get to a point where I'm like, I could, if I were to be a front man and like, I had to run around stage for an hour, I was talking about this with my friend Chris one time. We were like, I want to get in shape so both of us can run around a stage like a lunatic. Who the heck was it? Who were we? Oh, it was 21 Pilots. We saw 21 Pilots in concert.
Mm.
Tyler Joseph, the lead guy, is sprinting across stage while singing songs perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's crazy, man. That is crazy. That takes a lot of endurance.
Oh, 100%.
So yeah, definitely. I mean, stay in shape as much as you can. Mm. I'm starting to realize now, like, you know, you really are what you eat. Like, I mean, you probably know. I mean, you run a freaking American Ninja Warrior. I'm sure you preach this stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, man, I'm asking you a question. Yeah, because I meant to bring this up. Like,
sure.
I mean, I know, sure, this is cliche as all hell, but how in the world did that all start?
Oh, dude. I mean, I think my mom showed me when I was like 9 years old or something on the TV, and I thought the guys were absolutely nuts. Like,
they were
hanging on by their fingertips with like 1 inch.
Yeah.
A lot of them were like flipping off of buildings and stuff like that. And I thought they were like superheroes, but I never really imagined myself doing it.
Yeah.
And I was playing baseball for, you know, all those years. Like that was my thing. I was traveling the country playing baseball, or, you know, state at least.
Yeah.
And I ended up like just losing the love for it out of nowhere. And, you know, one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
And I started just doing flips in the backyard on the trampoline, climbing trees, going rock climbing. And I'm like, yo, I really enjoy this stuff.
Yeah.
So I ended up building obstacles in my backyard. I built the salmon ladder. Like,
yeah.
It's like the first thing. I remember I nailed it first try, like surprised myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, I might actually be good at this.
Yeah.
And then I went to a competition in Connecticut and like all the main guys were there on the TV show. And then I surprised myself even more. And like, I was like one of the best ones there.
Damn.
Like, yeah. I was like 15 years old and I can do every single obstacle.
Yeah.
So it's just like almost like a God given talent.
Oh yeah. And I mean, yeah, that's kind of, we had that same like, oh shit moment. We're pretty good at this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and don't get me wrong. I like worked up my strength a lot before that, but I was like, wow, like I could actually go on TV and do this.
Yeah.
So over the next couple of years, I just, went to as many competitions as I could.
Yeah.
Literally went to California, Vegas, New Mexico, Texas, just all over the country.
Yeah.
And I was like winning some of these competitions. There was a point where I was winning like half the competitions I went to.
Yeah.
Like even the guys on the show, because they were competing at these local competitions.
Yeah.
And then when I was 19, I was a coach at two Ninja Warrior gyms. So I just surrounded my life with this.
Yeah.
I was just addicted to it. And they changed the age limit from 21 to 19 when I turned 19. So I got my shot to compete.
Perfect. Yep.
Yeah. I submitted my video and just went on the show. I got Rookie of the Year. The first season I went out, got top 10.
Oh, I remember. I've seen the clips.
Yeah.
I did my research.
Yeah. So that was the journey, man. Like it just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing leads to another.
Yeah. No, everything happens for a reason, man.
Mm-hmm.
Age limit changing, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's nuts.
Yep.
But,
that's so cool. No, I needed to ask you because I'm like, I mean, we've talked a little bit like beforehand, but I mean, like I never like, I wanted to know, like, it was like, just how in the world does that even come about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
So.
And that like adrenaline rush that you're talking about, like I felt that to the max.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you said it yourself. You're literally hanging on by three fingers. Like some of these points. I mean,
it's that aspect of the things. Like you get the adrenaline rush from like actually doing the physical elements that are like, some of it is really dangerous, obviously. And then like the camera, the lights, sometimes there's fire shooting out.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting interviewed on the side.
Yeah.
So
you're sweating and be like, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, you get that feeling when like your tongue dries up. That real adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
And you just like totally lose yourself in the moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so. Trust me, been there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
that's cool as hell, man. Every time I see that, I'm like, man, I have a distant family member, but a family member, no less. So I'm like, who did this shit? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, that's so cool, man. I love that.
For sure, man.
Yeah, I just took over your podcast. That's mine now. But I'm asking the questions here, buddy.
I love it. Where can people find you?
At @Drew_Meckler on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Facebook, I'm just Drew Meckler.
Yeah.
Facebook's, for whatever reason, the place that musicians go to for social media.
Okay.
But I'm on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
I think I still have Twitter, or X, excuse me, Elon. I'm on Twitter. Not that I do much on Twitter. I just kind of do that for sports and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, mainly
and then
Instagram.
You play at Snitch, right?
So I'm Snitch Thursday and Friday, 10 to close.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash's Bar and Barbecue, 10:30 to close on Saturday nights.
Okay.
And then Whiskey Row, 11 to close on Sunday nights. That's my main schedule, but I post where I'm playing. So if I do fill in stuff, which I tend to do a decent amount,
cool.
I always post it. So
I got to come ASAP.
Yeah. Oh, dude, please. Yeah, just shoot me a text. If it's a weekend, I'm probably playing.
Yeah.
So.
And I know you'll be touring the country at one point, too.
That's the goal, man.
Yeah.
That is the goal.
Awesome, bro.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Sweet, bro. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for having me,
man. Yeah, bro. Yeah, we'll catch up soon.
All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. Peace.